Alright. There are a lot of psukim here at the beginning of Vayetze, beginning with the dream of Yaakov Avinu, which somehow stimulated the imagination of the Ramban. In many cases, he's elaborating on Rashi. Sometimes he's critiquing Rashi and disagreeing with Rashi. We'll see if we could focus on a few paragraphs in the Ramban. We're going to start with the beginning of Parashas Vayetze. The Torah says, "V'hine sulam mutzav arza, v'rosho magia shamayma, v'hine malachei Elokim olim v'yardim bo." So the Ramban points out, what's the story here with these malachim going up and down the ladder? Says the Ramban, "Hera'ehu b'chalom." Okay, so there's no doubt that this is happening in a chalom. We don't have the machlokas Rambam and Ramban about this. Hanavua ki chola nase ba'aretz nase al yidei ha-malochim. Meaning God executes His will in this earth through the medium of malochim. Va'kol b'gzeras elyon aleihem. Now this last phrase in the Ramban, and we're gonna talk at great length about this whole structure of malachim. But before we get to that, just I wanted to point out to you that this phrase in the Ramban, "Kol anase baretz nase al yidei malachim, va'kol b'gzeras elyon aleihem." To really appreciate those words in the Ramban, I'd like to call your attention to page 2 of your sheets, and that's the Ramban in Vayikra. And you'll see in the third paragraph on that page, I underlined what I think is the corresponding words in the Ramban. He says, "Vizehu inyan Sha'amar," he says, this is the idea behind a pasuk in Daniel regarding the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar. Sha'amar, the pasuk says, "Bigzeras Irin." So you see that word Irin? That's a specific high-powered malach. Pisgama. Pisgama usually refers to when you ask somebody a question, you get an answer. Umamar Kadisha Sha'alta. You know that Daniel's written in Aramaic, so the language is a bit challenging, to say the least. But basically, what the pasuk is trying to convey is that there's a decree, a gzera, made by the angels. And the word of these holy ones came through asking. And the Ramban is going to try to interpret that pasuk. Yomar, this means to say, "Ki hadavar ahu hanigzar al Nebuchadnezzar b'gzeras irin." This gzera that was decreed upon Nebuchadnezzar was a decree of the angels. Irin, are the angels. Shegazru al akochos hanetzolam mehem lasos kach. Apparently, these irim have forces that emanate from them. Netzolam always means, atzilus means emanations. And those forces execute the decree of the angels. Okay, now take a deep breath here, because what does it mean that there are forces that emanate from angels, that fulfill the decree of angels, of Irin? So let's skip a little bit. The Ramban says, "Umaymar kadishin shilten," the pasuk that says those words, the word of the holy ones, through asking, "Klomar sheshalu me ha'elyon haratzon olav." In other words, the pasuk is going out of its way to emphasize that these holy ones, these Irin, they only make decrees through asking. Do you see those words, she'ilta? And what is asking? It means they ask from, says the Ramban, Meha Elyon. Okay, what's this word in the Ramban? Ha Elyon. See, that's what the Ramban is adding to the Pasuk. The Elyon literally means the most high, with a capital M, a capital H. Who is the most high?
Hashem.
So in other words, first the angels have to ask the divine being to get his will, and only afterwards, says the Ramban, Shalu me'elion aratzon olav, the olav meaning on Nevuchadnezzar, the acher kach, and then afterwards, gazru le'osos came. Then and only then do they decree that whatever happened to has to happen to Nevuchadnezzar will happen to him. V'zeo shomer lo Daniel u'gzeras ilahi. What does it mean when Daniel says, this is the decree of the Most High? Ki akol me'itohi. Everything comes from him with a capital H. So having seen that Ramban, and now go back to our Ramban, which is back on page 1, and I'll answer your questions in just a minute, I just want to get to a certain point. The Ramban says, Hero b'chalom anevua ki kol anasim haritz nasal yidei ha-malachim v'akol b'gzeres elyon aleihem. And what are these words HaKol B'Gzeres Elyon refer to? That refers to the Gzer on high, which is upon the Malachim. So the Malachim are not the original decision makers. They are implementing the will of God on high. They are, in effect, the intermediaries that bring about the will of God here on this earth. And here the Ramban goes on to say that there are two roles, two responsibilities of the Malachim. And they are represented here by the Sulam, by the ladder of Yaakov. There are Malachim going up and Malachim coming down. He says, Ki Malachim Elokim Asher Shalach Hashem Lishalech Ba'aretz, those Malachim coming down, who implement the will of God on this earth, Lo Yasu Kitana Ogdola, they can't lift a finger and have any impact on this earth, ad, until they go back up the ladder, to ascend the ladder, shuvam, lis yatzev, al odo adon kol haaretz. So basically, these are the delegates of Almighty God. They go up on high, they get the command from the executive, and then they descend down to earth, in order to implement the will of God, the Gzeir of Hashem, Lamar. What do they tell God when they go on high? Lityatsev al Adon Kol. Adon Kol means, you know, imagine the picture of this great judge, and the Malachim are coming, Lityatsev. Lityatsev is like, you know, if you have a soldier, Lityatsev means he stands in attention in front of his officer. Lamar lefanav, and he tells in front of God the following: His halachnu baretz. You know, we traversed through the land. Vehine, and then they report to the Ribono Shel Olam. He yoshevis b'shalva omalea cheref idam. In other words, they report and describe the situation down on earth to God on high. The who, and then God, Yitzava Aleim, he commands them to go back down again, Lashuv Loretis Baretz, Velasos Dvaro. So in other words, there's a very fine, I don't know, we'll call it a paradox. On the one hand, everything that happens, says the Ramban, and that's the import of the Nevuah to Yaakov here, happens through Kalanase Baretz Al Yidei Malachim. And that's what we saw by Nebuchadnezzar and Sefer Daniel. But nevertheless, as the Ramban interpreted the Pasuk in Daniel, the Malachim are not independent original sources of power. They're only there to implement the will on high. They are only intermediaries. They are delegates. They don't have any independent original powers. Now, Rabosai, before you say what you want to say, and I'm sure everybody in the room has a lot of questions, I would like to ask my question. And that is, why is this meaningful to me? Why is it important? L'netzach nitzachim, the Torah embodies this for all eternity, this chalom of Yaakov, this nevuah which tells us that everything happens through malachim. And after all, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. You don't have to tell Him anything. When the malachim report on high, they're not notifying God of anything He doesn't know. He's omniscient. So what's the point? What does it mean to me? What do I take away from this? You know, like, to be perfectly honest with you, or facetious about it, what do I care whether it goes through a malach or it doesn't go through a malach? And I want to tell you, Rabosai, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, amongst many of the books that he read, that he wrote a book called Derech Hashem. Are you familiar with it? He has a whole chapter, which, just to capsulize the whole chapter in one sentence, he says that what goes on upstairs is Ke'ein Malchusa Da'ara. The Malchus, the judgment of the great king on high, is a duplicate of what goes on here on earth. And he spends a whole chapter describing how, just like if there's a judgment in front of a human judge, there's testimony, there's evidence, you know, there's the sanigaria, the defense, and then there's the prosecution. And he goes on to describe this complex structure that goes on in the heavens with the malachim in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Kisei HaKavod telling the judge on high what's happening, what they saw. And then there's a whole court procedure, says the Ramchal, and until finally the heavenly court issues its verdict. And once again, why all the pomp and ceremony? Well, what's it all about?
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, first of all, Yaakov's about to leave Eretz Israel. And Hashem knows he's going to be gone for 22 years. His father was not allowed to leave Eretz Israel. It's like, there's something, it's a little bit more significant than just, okay, he's going because there's a famine or whatever. There's a lot more to it. I'm not sure.
So wait, Jeff, you're answering a different question than the one I asked. I think you're answering the question, why is this nevuah juxtaposed or transmitted to Yaakov at this particular moment in history? I was asking a more universal kind of question. Apparently on high, judgment goes through a very complex procedure in which the Elyonim, the celestial beings, the Malachim, play this role, which is symbolized by this dream of Olin V'Yardim. And the Ramchal, as I said before, dramatizes it and says that there's a mirror image of the court procedures that go down in this earth up there in heaven. And I'm asking, let's leave Yaakov out of the picture for a moment, Jeff. You're answering a different question. Why Yaakov at this moment, he's going to Chutz Laaretz, etc. I'm just asking a more fundamental question. My name is Azariah Berzon. Why is it important for Azariah Berzon to know, you know, like, who cares, kind of thing? Yeah, I'm being a little bit, you know, apikursis here, and you'll bear with me, but rack my brains and come up with some understanding. You know, all of the Mefarshim, for example, ask, why the story of creation? Because we don't know beans about Yesh Me'ayin. So why did the Torah bother with it? You know, do we know anything about the judgment up on high? Well, why is it important to us that this whole sophisticated structure? What do I have to know this?
Well,
Joe?
And this is exactly, that's exactly it. Even though up in Shemayim, everything is absolutely clear. We should never, it's telling us how we have to conduct ourselves here. In Shemayim, Hashem knows everything, and yet he conducts a court case and everything.
So wait a minute, Joe. Are you telling me that it's important for me to know that the judge needs evidence? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
I think there are many parashas in the Torah that supply that information. I don't think it has to be taught here by this sophisticated, heavenly, celestial court.
Even though it's a vada, you still have to go through all the...
No, I'm just asking, yeah, sure. I mean, evidence has to be brought in front of the court. There's got to be a defense. There's got to be... You know, it's a, you know, you have to learn Masechta Sanhedrin, Masechta Makis. But if I would go through my life without knowing this, what would be missing in my life? That's what I'm asking. Yeah, Monty?
Well, it just seems like specifically in Eretz Yisrael, there's an extra,
I didn't mention a word about Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you're ahead of me already. The Ramchal is talking about judgment on high. He's not talking about Eretz Yisrael. We'll see. The Ramban is going to talk a lot about Eretz Yisrael. But you're missing my question. I'm just asking, if I went to sleep tonight without knowing that there's a whole sophisticated trial and judge and then judiciary system up in the celestial spheres, was Feltmeer in my leben, what would be missing in my life? What would be such a terrible ignorance on my part if I didn't know this? If I didn't know that Malachim are going up and Malachim are coming down and everything's implemented here through Malachim. So I don't know that. So what? What do I walk away with from this? So I'd like to suggest a few possibilities. All for you're the jury. We'll call it a trial. You decide if you like it, if you don't like it. But here are the thoughts that occurred to me. Point number one. We have a concept called Malchus. Divine kingship. What does it mean to me? It is so abstract. It is so difficult for me to experience Malchus. To feel it, to sense it. It's not clear. It's ambiguous. It's abstract. It's not vivid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world and he wants to give us, little old mortal man, a sense of what divinity, what malchus, what kingship is all about. Divine king. I'll give you an example. You remember, of course, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we recite Unisana Tokef. And we get a picture, if we read it with feeling, of what's going on, you know, in the heavens on the day of judgment. It's very important, not for Almighty God, but for us to have some way, some method of relating, of connecting to the concept of divine judgment. And in order to make that human, I'll use a modern Hebrew word. I know for those of you familiar with the word muchashi, it's very hard to translate that. I don't know. Muchashi means that I can sense it. It's very important that the relationship between me and Almighty God, insofar as God is the judge, be muchashi. It's something that I can feel. It's vivid. I have a dramatic picture of it. The Ramchal is going to spend, as I said, an entire chapter describing the color and the pomp of divine ceremony with the Malachim coming up and down and the defense and this. It all is to give us some sort of a picture, if you will, of divine kingship. We can now relate to him as Malchus, and perhaps that's very, very crucial. It's not for Hashem, it's for us. Number two. I think this concept is meant to instill in man a certain fear of Almighty God. Meaning, as children, you know, God, I don't know, maybe I'm projecting on you what I felt. As children, you know, God is like our best friend. He's almost like a buddy, you know, Kavioka, we can put our arm around him. And we talk to him and we converse with him. I remember as a child, we had a a downstairs and an upstairs. There was a landing in between the two. You know, you went up one, like half a flight of steps, and then there was a little landing. That's where I used to communicate with God. I don't know why. I was about 6 years old, 7 years old. But then we get more mature. And that close, intimate relationship now has to be balanced with a certain fear. I call it the fear of the transcendental, of Almighty God. The Gemara tells us, I want to read to you a Gemara in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph. Vishema Yomar Adam, me may it be? You know, a person is in the four walls of his own room. And he might say, well, no one's going to testify against me. There's no one here. Debei Rabbi Shila Amri, Shnei Malachi Ashores, Hamalavim Lo Adam. There are two Malachim, one on the right and one on the left, that escort a human being throughout his life. Heim Hamidim Olav. I mean, again, if that doesn't scare the pants out of you, then I don't know what does. You know, you are constantly being scrutinized, every action, by these Malachim, who are on the way up the ladder to give their, I don't know, bi-weekly report, or I don't know how often they get up there. That's a certain element of Yirah Shamayim, which I think we're going to see over and over again in the Ramban, here at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov is completely overwhelmed by a sense of fear, awe, trembling from the transcendental Almighty God. So yes, we do have a relationship of Ava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father in Heaven. We call him Avinu Sheva Shamayim, but at the same time, we sense a fear, we recoil, we realize there's something called retribution, there's a court, every action is being scrutinized, there's no such thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a Vatron. Chazal say anyone who says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatron, he lets it go, is Yevatru Al Chayav. And all that, I think, is instilled in our hearts by this understanding that there are malachim going up and down that are very intimately and personally related to our lives. And then number three. My third possibility, I think, is the most dangerous. And you can either, you know, think about it or just throw stones at me, whichever you like. But it's hard over Skype. And that is that there's a paradox which I don't know how to reconcile in terms of Almighty God's involvement in this lowly world. On the one hand, God is all-knowing. God is involved. There's Hashgacha Pratis. But there's another dimension in which God is up in the seventh Zvul. He's somewhere up in the divine spiritual heavens. And really, he's not interested in mortal man. Who is man? Here today and God tomorrow. So, I don't know how to reconcile this contradiction. How could it be A and not A at the same time? But then again, there are a lot of things about God that I don't understand. And I don't expect to understand. So what is God's relationship to this world? On the one hand, God is all-knowing. But on the other hand, He's got this whole system, this whole world of Malachim that separates our world of the Olam HaTachton from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. And that world in between us and the Ribono Shel Olam is called the Elyonim. And these are Malachim who, in a sense, create a distance between man and God. So on the one hand, yes, it's true. God is right here with us. There's Hashras HaShechina. But on the other hand, what we have to know is that there's the Melech Malchei HaMalachim who's really up there. And you can't just barge in. You know, you've got to go through a bunch of channels. And you have to understand that there's the Melech all the way up there. So I think that's the paradox of the divine relationship with this world. Perhaps the reason why this dream, this nevuah, has to take place in the Makom HaMikdash is to tell the Jew that despite God's transcendental distance, The Jew has the possibility, has the optimistic hope and faith that he can enter into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home on this earth, which is called the Beis Hashem. Perhaps that's a universal message for all of mankind, right? Because the Beis Hashem is the Beis HaTfil Yikarei L'chol HaAmim, but certainly to the Jewish nation. Yaakov as representative of that nation. This nevuah that separates our world from the divine world, from the Kisei HaKavod, through the intermediary of Malachim that are going up the ladder and down the ladder, don't despair. We have a concept of a Beis HaMikdash. Maybe now it's not a reality. But Yaakov Avinu is getting this nevuah in a place which grants us the optimism and the hope to be close to Hashem.
It's right here. Right, because right after the vision, Hashem speaks to him directly. It proves it, right?
Yeah.
So the Hashem part of paradox is right here in the dream.
Correct. And I'm saying that maybe this paradox is something that we have to understand. And it's something that's essential to divinity. You know, there's a thesis and an antithesis, to use Hegelian terms here, about God's relationship to this world. Okay, let's go on a little bit. You see the next paragraph there. Ehu ki hu yisbarach nitzav al asulam. And in this dream, Almighty God shows Yaakov that he, with a capital H, is standing over the sulam. Umavticha liYaakov avtocha gedol is a great promise to Yaakov. Lo dia shehu lo yiyeh biyad hamalachim. That he, Yaakov, is the exception to the rule. And his hashgacha, his relationship, is a very close one, in which God has a direct knowledge and connection awareness of Yaakov. He's not given over to the Malachim. His Hashgach is different. But rather, Aval Yeh Chelek Hashem. God's not going to delegate Yaakov to anyone. No intermediaries. V'yeh Imo Tamid. And he'll be with Yaakov eternally. Kamosha Omar, and that's the Pasuk, V'hine Anochi Imcha, U'shmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. Ki maloso gidola misharat tzadikim. Says the Ramban, there's regular man, then there's the tzadikim, and then there's Yaakov on top. And how is Yaakov's mila greater, supersedes that of the other tzadikim? Shenemar bahem, ki malochav yitzav lecha lishmarcha b'chol drachecha. Other tzadikim have a divine providence through the intermediary of a maloch. That's other tzaddikim. But in the case of Yaakov, it's Chelek Hashem lo yeh biyad hamalach. Fantastic, right? But there's a problem here. Because Yaakov Avinu himself says in Perek Mem Ches, hamalach hagol osimi kol ra. Who protects Yaakov? It's a malach. Not only that, the Ramban himself, at the very beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, you remember that Yaakov Avinu was sending Malachim to Esav? And according to one day, these are real Malachim, classical angels. Says the Ramban, Nichtava Parsha Zos, Lo Dia Ki Hitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avdo, V'Golo V'Yad Chazak Mimenu, V'Yishlach Malach V'Yatzileu. Hashem sent the Malach and saved Yaakov Avinu. But what is it? Is it the Ramban here who lo yeh biyad malachim? God will directly intervene to save and protect Yaakov, or is it the Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach that Hashem sends his malach in order to save Avram? Yaakov. An unbelievable, glaring contradiction in the Ramban himself. So, my friend in Hadre Kodesh suggests a solution based on a number of Rambans elsewhere, in which the Ramban, and I'll give you the whole list if you're interested, the Ramban says that there's one special Malach, even has a name for him, who appears throughout Tanakh. He's on a super Malachi level. He's not just your regular classical, you know, rank and file Malach. He's a super Malach. And all the Anhog in this world ultimately goes back to that Malach. That Malach, says the Ramban, is described in the Pasuk as Shmi Bekirbo. The name of Almighty God is in that Malach. It's very difficult for us to have any clue, any grasp of what this Malach is all about. I mean, he's a Malach, but yet he's so similar to Almighty God that he has the name of God within him. And he, this Malach, is Manig the Olam. So then it comes out that there's the following structure, according to the Hadrei Kodesh. There's Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation as a whole. The supervision and the providence on the Jewish nation is without any Malach. It's direct between Almighty God and the Jewish nation. Then you have one level below that is Yaakov as an individual. We're no longer talking about the Jewish nation. The Hashgacha on this individual, Yaakov, is through a Malach. But which Malach? This high-powered Malach. If you're interested, his name is Matatron. In case you meet him, you'll call him by his name. In fact, who met this Malach? Yoshua met him. You remember after Melchemes Ayi, he meets a Malach. So the Ramban says that Malach was Matatron. It sounds like, at least according to the Ran, Yoshua is allowed to bow down to that Malach because Shmi Bekirbo. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how to put this all together in halachic terms. You're not allowed to bow down to a Malach, but Yeshua did. And then you have the level below that of all the tzaddikim, ki malachav yitzavalach, lishmarcha b'chal drachecha, that's already the shmir of a regular Malach, as we called it before, a citizen Malach, not Matatra. Fantastic structure. Klal Yisrael as a whole, no Malach whatsoever. And the Ramban is going to emphasize this over and over again. Yaakov Avinu as an individual, Matatron, Shmi Bekirbo. And then we go down to all other tzaddikim. There, who's going to protect them? Your rank and file Malach.
So Malach HaGoel is Matatron, that's what he's talking about?
Correct. And if you're interested, you know, I can't photocopy it for you because I don't know, my scanner is not working, but I can send you all the source material in the Ramban about Matatra. Okay, if you want to press me on that.
No chance on the difference between them, Bnei Yisrael and Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael being direct and outside of Eretz Yisrael being part of the book.
Wait a minute, you're saying something excellent. Which one applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael?
Outside of Eretz Yisrael with the Malach. I'm not going to say it. I'll let the Rambam read it.
No, because I tell you, I wanted to share with you, the Hadrei Kodesh is not aware of the Sam Derech, which I told you is from the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav Breida, and he claims that this concept of a Malach with regard to Yaakov Avinu, HaMalach HaGol Osi, or Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov, and yet here the Ramban says, Shelo Yabiyad Malachim, he gives a different approach. He suggests that certainly Hashem's Hashkocha on Yaakov Avinu is direct, there are no Malachim. However, he claims, and I may be reading into it, but I think what he's trying to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man different types of tools to confront the challenges that man finds himself in. man is called upon to do his personal hishtadlus in order to protect himself. The malachim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to Yaakov Avinu are those forces or energies that Yaakov is able to take advantage of and use them as his human effort to protect himself. So Malach HaGolos means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has this direct hashgacha on Yaakov, but yet on the other hand, the flip side is Yaakov still is obligated to do his share, because we don't rely on miracles. So within the natural order of the universe, Yaakov has to do everything possible, not leave any leaf unturned, in order to protect himself from the impending danger. The malachim are those possibilities that Hashem affords Yaakov with to utilize, but at the end of the day, who saves Yaakov? It's not really Yaakov's effort. For example, he gives the example, how is it that Esav, when he finally meets Yaakov, all of a sudden is overwhelmed by love and sympathy for his brother? So the Ramban himself says in Parshas Vayishlach that that's, that Ava that was in the heart of Esav at that moment was placed there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov went through all these activities and attempts to protect himself by sending all these malachim that Hashem provided him with. But at the end of the day, who actually saved Yaakov from the enmity and the murder in the eyes of Esav? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And he gives another example of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's called the Shliach Hashem in Yetzias Mitzrayim, yet we say, Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Shliach, El V'Chvodo V'Atzma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Moshe's only a Shliach. Moshe's only a human effort to bring about, by going in front of Paro, etc., etc., the divine direct providence and protection for the Jewish people. So the salvation is direct from God. The malach is only the way, a way in which Hashem provides man with different facilities that could help him fulfill his personal obligation of ishtabas. It's a very complicated system, but I just wanted to share with you. Then there's another question here. What's the difference between Yaakov and Klal Yisrael? And that's, Joe, I think what you were saying before. Klal Yisrael is also, according to the Ramban, directed by God without any intermediaries. All the other nations go through Malachim, as we'll soon see in the Ramban. So what's special about Yaakov Avinu? It's true about the entire nation of Israel that God has a direct providence upon our people. What's so special about Yaakov? And here he offers a number of answers, the first of which is Chutz Laaretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct relationship with the Jewish people is only in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see that in the Ramban coming around the bend. With regard to Yaakov Avinu, he's going out Chutz Laaretz, and nevertheless Hashem provides direct protection, no need for a malach. The second possibility is that although it's true that God's providence upon the Jewish people is direct, without a malach, nevertheless, that's only on the Jewish people as a whole. On the klal, on the nation, on the community. But when it comes to any individual member of the Jewish people, he fits into the general category of a malach. The exception to that rule is going to be Yaakov Avinu. In the case of Yaakov, Hashem promises him that even as a yachid, he will be taken out of the system of angelic protection, and God will provide direct protection.
What are you saying with regards to Avram and Yitzchak then?
I guess we can apply the same rule to Avram and Yitzchak.
As
we do to Yaakov.
So then it's a definition of the Ovos.
It might be a definition of the Ovos. And then perhaps we could say the following, that although with regard to the Jewish people as a whole, God Himself, with a capital H, is Mashgiach, He has providence and Shlita and control to protect his people. But nevertheless, as we said before, he implements that through Malachim. So it's God himself, direct providence to Klal Yisrael, but implementing that through Malachim. And in the case of Yaakov Avinu, it's a direct providence. So again, the concept of Malachim might just symbolize the human effort. God provides man with Malachim, but ultimately he himself protects the tzaddik, in this case Yaakov Avinu. And now we get to the Ramban in the name of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. This is Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, in which the Ramban claims, in the name of Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Ha'isazos Hamar Ke'inyan Bein Abbasarim Le'Avram, this story with the Malachim going up and down is a duplicate of the story of the Bein Abbasarim, where Hashem tells Avram Avinu that his descendants will be subjugated by four different kingships. Ki hero memshalas arba malchios umalosam viridosam. In this nevuah, the malachim represent the delegates, the officers of the four malchios. And malosam means their dominion, their control, viridosam, their demise. Vizeta malachi elokim. Kmoshener b'Daniel, Sar Malchus Yovan, Sar Malchus Poras, Vivticho, Kihu Yisala Yia Imo B'chol Asher Yelech Beineim, Vishmerenu V'Yatzilenu M'Yodam. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a promise for the Jewish people throughout history. Despite the exile and the subjugation, God is still protecting them. Herala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Malchios, Moshlon v'Avdon, when they control and when they go down. Hereu sar malchus bavel oles shivim okim v'yored. Okim are rungs on a ladder. So the sar of bavel goes up 70 rungs, which represents the 70 years that malchus bavel will reign. Hero sar malchus madai ola chamishim v'shnayim okim v'yored, the 52 years of madai. Hereu sar malchus yavon ola meyo shmonim okim, for 180 years the Greeks will subjugate the Jewish people. Hero sar malchus edom ola v'yeno yored, but Edom is not coming down. Omar lo Yaakov turns to the sire of Edom and says to him, ach El Sha'ol Tered, you will go down, all the way down. Amalah Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Kodesh Baruch Hu confirms this, that ultimately even the Sire of Edom will go down. Now, one question that occurred to my mind is the Ramban now changing our whole understanding of this Nevuah of the ladder? Until now, the Ramban was saying it's Malachim for the entire universe that are going up and down. Those who are going up to report to God about the situation on earth, and those who are coming down to implement God's will on this earth. Now, the Malachim all of a sudden are representatives of the respective Sarim of the four Malchus. I don't know. It's a little bit strange that the Ramban doesn't point out that he's offering an alternative explanation of this Nevuah of the Sulam Mutzav Arza. Maybe there's not such a contradiction here, because ultimately the judgment against the Jewish people, at least, and maybe the entire world, is going to be reflected in these four Malchios that will rule the world supreme. Please look on Chaf now, which is the third major paragraph on page 1.
Why can't you say they're just different types of malachim?
No, but I'm just asking, what is the point of these malachim? What is being conveyed here to Yaakov Avinu in this dream? And to us who are reading the dream? Is it A or is it B? You know, the Ramban starts with this whole structure that we discussed about the malachim in terms of human action and implementing whatever impact Hashem wants on this world. And now, all of a sudden, it's It's a duplicate of Bris Bein HaBesarim, of the four Malchits, culminating in the fact that the Malach of Edom is going up and not coming down. That's frightening. So I'm just wondering if we should reconcile those two interpretations of the Sulam, or we should say that the Ramban is now offering a whole new possibility. But what I want to do, because time is moving very quickly, is to try to study with you the Ramban on Pasuk Chaf, which I think is a very important Ramban. Im yelo kimi madi lashon Rashi im yishmar li avtachos halolu shivtachani. It means that Yaakov says, if you, Almighty God, will come through with your promises, and you will protect me, Yi Hashem Elokim Imadi, then I will build this matzeva, this altar, and I will give out maaser, and so forth and so on. So Rabban says, V'tamatnai, which I would add, Ma tamatnai. So what's the reason that Yaakov feels compelled to add a condition, if you will be with me? What do you mean? Hashem promised he'll be with me. And of course, we can guess the answer of the Ramban. Shelo yigro machet. That Yaakov Avinu is afraid that despite the promises of Almighty God, perhaps he, Yaakov, will fall short, and the promise is null and void. These are not absolute promises that God bestowed, that God gave Yaakov. These are conditional. They're contingent. And if Yaakov should, heaven forbid, sin, then the whole deal is off, and there's no commitment on the part of Almighty God to come through with this promise. Therefore, Yaakov, when he takes this neder, he puts in a condition into this neder, and he says, yeah, I promise to do the following, but only if, God, you'll be with me as you promised. V'chein amru v'breishis rabba, the Ramban quotes the Medrash Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha, hine anochi imach. After all, Hashem promised Yaakov that he would be with him. Hine anochi imach. And then Yaakov says, im ye Elokim imadi, if you'll be with me. I mean, how do you reconcile that? Hine anochi imach. Take a look at it in Pasuk Tezva. A little bit earlier here in the parasha. So Hashem already gave him the promise. So says Rav Huna, that as far as life in this world is concerned, there's no absolute unconditional promise. Even a tzaddik has to be constantly in a state of pachad, of fear, shema yigro machet. And this medrash is reflected in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Dalet. Shema yigro machet. I would like to make two comments. Number one, what the message I think we're trying to derive from this Ramban, from this concept of Shema Yivgar Machet, is what Chazal say, Al Tamin V'Atzvach Ad Yom Oscha. You can be the Kohen Gadol at 80 years old and you can become a Tzduki. And you remember we discussed the Machlokes back in Parshas Vayera between the Ramban and Rashi, about whether Avram Avinu muzzled his animals. And Rashi insists that Yaakov Avinu muzzled his animals, lest they eat from someone else's pasture. And we try to defend Rashi based on the parsha of the Malach and Melech Stone, where Yaakov says, where Avram says, Harimosi es yadi, I will not take a penny, a red cent, from Melech Stone, lest someone say that Melech Sdom has shira as Avram. So, Harimosi es yadi, Chazal say he took a shmua. And all of the first ask, why does Avram have to take a shmua? He has no temptation whatsoever to take money from anyone, let alone stone. There's Chil Hashem involved. He needs a shmua. And Chazal derived from this parsha of Harimosi es yadi, Shetzadikim mashbiyim es yitzram. You take a shmua to strengthen your ability to overcome the power of the Yetzirah. Al tamim v'atzmacha. Avraham Avinu has no Yetzirah for this money, but yet he's got to take a shmua. You never know. You can never underestimate the power of your foe, of your enemy. The Yetzer Hara is out to get you. And therefore, if you have to take a shmuah, take a shmuah. Aye, there's 0.0001% of a chance that the Yetzer Hara will get the best of you. You got to take a shmuah. Maybe the animals, maybe the cows will be tempted by a good piece of grass. Take every precaution. That's what we call Yiras Chet. So I think the first message that we have to take from this parsha of Shema Yigra Machet is that a tzaddik could never sit back on his laurels. He never has any guarantee. He can never feel absolutely secure. No divine promises are irreversible. Man is subject, he's vulnerable to the power of his foes. And therefore, he's got to take every precaution. Mashbien es Yitzro. Take a shmur if necessary. I'm not telling you to take a shmur, Rabbi Osai. When you get to the level of tzaddik and mashbien es Yitzro, come to discuss it with me. But the concept is something that we have to take to our hearts. We can never sit back and be secure and say, I don't have fear of chet. Yiras chet has to take us from the day we're born, petach hatach rovetz, until the day we die. That's lesson number one. But number two, I want to ask a kash. And it's not my original kash. The Rambam in his Hakdomah to Sefer Zeroyim asks on this Gemara of Shema Yigra Machet the following profound question. The halacha is that a nevuah l'torah l'tova is ein hakabod kodesh baruch hu chozeres bo. So the Rambam asks, what's the Shema Yigro Machet? Yaakov has a pachad, and the Ramban says it by Avram as well. Shema Yigro Machet. Harei kol dovish yotzim pi kodesh baruch hu l'tova. And the Rambam gives the following answer. He says there are two types of nevuah. There's nevuah that's being given to a Navi for the purpose of transmission. The Navi is called upon to share his nevuah, spread the good word with other people. And then there's a nevuah which is Beino Levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's between the Navi and Hashem. No one else hears about it. It's a private nevuah. It's not given for the purpose of transmission of public of publicity. Says the Rambam in his Akdomah to Seder Zeroyim that the Avos received personal nevuos that reflected their intimate relationship with Almighty God. And with regard to a personal nevuah, the halacha of kol davar sheyotzem pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tova eino chozer bo doesn't apply. When does it apply? Only with a nevuah that has to be shared with other people. If it's meant to be transmitted, then the klal is eino HaKadosh Baruch Hu chozer bo. So therefore, the nevuah that Yaakov Avinu received, hinei anochi imcha u'shmartich b'chol asher telech, is a personal nevuah. It was never given to Yaakov to share with others. And therefore there's a possibility of chazor. Says the Ramban, if there's a possibility of chazorah, then Yaakov is very worried. Shema Yigro Machet. But besides the Rambam, I believe there's another answer to this question. And I base myself on the Ran in Drashas Haran. The Ran says that when Chazal differentiate between a nevuah l'tova and a nevuah l'ra, then a nevuah l'ra is HaKadosh Baruch Hu might rescind the nevuah, chozeres bo, but not a nevuah l'tova. Says the Ran, fundamentally there's no difference between a nevuah l'tova and a nevuah l'ra. In all cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could decide that he wants to change the deal. Why is it that in the case of nevuah l'tova, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu chozer ba? Says the Ran, there's a mitzvah of Elav Tishmu. It's one of the Taryag. A person appears, presents himself as a Navi, and we have to know whether or not the mitzvah of Elav Tishmu applies. Is he a real Navi, or is he a Sharia, or is he a fake? So we got to test him. How do we test him? Well, if he goes against the Torah, he's for sure a Navi Sheker. But let's say he doesn't say anything about the Torah, he just tells you what's going to happen in the future. He says, I got a Nevuah that every Jew in Toronto is going to inherit $1 million. So if that Nevuah doesn't come to fruition, then we know he's a Navi Sheker. But suppose the same guy says that every Jew in Toronto is going to lose $1 million, chas v'shalom. So then, that's called a nevuah l'rah. If it doesn't come about, if it doesn't come into fruition, that doesn't prove that he's a false prophet. Could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. People did tshuva, and he rescinded his original decree. Says the Ran, that when there's a mitzvah of Elav Tishmun, and we need a litmus test to determine whether this is a real, bona fide, genuine Navi, or Chas V'shalom is a Navi Sheker, then the halach of Eino Chozer Bo applies. But if there's no mitzvah of Elav Tishmun, and there's no obligation on the part of Jewish people to implement the litmus test and determine whether he's a true Navi or a false one, then we go back to square one. Every Nevuah is the same, whether it's Letov or Lera, and it lends itself to Chazor. In the case of the Avos, there's no mitzvah of Elav Tishmun. As we said before, in the name of the Rambam, this is not that Klal Yisrael has to accept the Avos as Nevi'im and listen to the Nevuah. Nobody is called upon to test the Navi and see whether Yaakov Avinu is genuine, he's the real thing, he really experienced this Nevuah, he didn't. And therefore, the halacha is, it could be chozer, but that's the halacha of the Ramban here, of Shema Yigrom Achit. Alright, where are we up to on the pages? Do we have time for one more shtickel in Ramban? You know what, let's just finish this Ramban before we go on. The Ramban says, V'hoya Hashem li l'Elokim. You have this Ramban? I'm skipping the second half of Chaf and moving on to Chaf Aleph. V'hoya Hashem li l'Elokim einenu t'nai k'divrei Rashi. It doesn't make sense, says the Ramban, to understand it like Rashi says, and you will be for me a God. I will accept you as my God. What do you mean? And even if God doesn't come through with the promise, you still have to accept God. But rather, Aval Hu Neder. This is a pledge, it's a vow. Vinyono, what's the deeper meaning of this vow? Im Ashuv El Beis Avi, I will serve you, God. Evod Hashem Amiyuchad. Now, where can a person add this extra level of service to the Shem Amiyuchad, which is the holiest name of God, the ineffable name Yud Kei Vav Kei, be Eretz HaNivcheres. Only in Eretz Yisrael. There is no such service to God under the Shem HaMiyuchad anywhere on the face of the earth, except in Eretz Yisrael. B'makom ha'evan hazo shetia li lebeis ha'lukim v'sham otzias ha'maser. I always say that there's only one human being who ever walked this earth who can teach us to appreciate Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Ramban. No one comes to his toenails. And what we're seeing here in this Ramban is the tippy tip of the iceberg that Yaakov Avinu took upon himself. A neder to serve Hashem. What does that mean, a neder to serve Hashem? Of course you have to serve Hashem. But the answer is to true, genuine service of Hashem on the highest level. Shem HaMiyuchad. That, says the Ramban, can only take place in the Eretz HaNivcheres. And the broader picture of this Ramban, you'll find on pages 2 and pages 3 of your Mar Makolos pages, in this long, lengthy Ramban, which we touched upon earlier tonight, in Perek Yirches in Vayikra, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vatitom El Aretz, that if we violate the sexual moral code of the Torah in Arayos, then the Torah tells us, Vatalki Aretz Es Yoshvea, the land of Israel will vomit forth its people. And the Ramban says that there's a special sensitivity to the very land, to the very air of Eretz Yisrael towards such violations that pollute the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, like Arayos, and therefore the world, the earth of Eretz Yisrael will vomit forth the people. Vihine, says the Ramban, Arayos Chovas Haguf. We're not talking about an agricultural law that's limited to Eretz Yisrael, but the deeper meaning, Almighty God created the entire universe, but the control over the lower worlds is placed in the hands of the celestial beings, the malachim, the elyonim, v'nasar al kol am v'yam, and he placed upon each nation individually b'artzoseihem l'goyehem kochav u'mazel, a star, some sort of astrological sign, some sort of celestial being or sar. V'zeu shenema asher chilek Hashem elokecha osam, chilek Hashem elokecha osam l'chol ha'amim. He gave out stars in the sky. Ugvoim aleihem malachei elyon, and on top of them are the higher angels. Nostam liosarim aleihem. That's as far as all the other nations on the earth. However, with regard to the Jewish nation, v'hine Hashem ha'nichbad hu elokei elokim adonai adonim. And there's a lot to talk about here, which we don't have time for. L'chol ha'olam, aval Eretz Yisrael, emtzaut ha'yishuv hi nachas Hashem yuchedes l'shmo. With regard to Eretz Yisrael, there are no malachim, there are no emtzaim, lo nasan aleha min ha'malachim k'tzin shoter moshel banchilo oso li'amo ha'miyuchad ha'miyached shmo zera o'avo. It's the land of Israel that is designated for the people, the beloved nation of Hashem, who are miyached shmo, who designate His name, and that's in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban goes on to say that Adar b'chutzlartz is dovel l'mishein lo eloka, because that special relationship with the Shem HaMiyuchad with the people of Israel is only in Eretz Yisrael. And I tell you, Rabosa, if we would learn this Ramban carefully, especially page 3, where he quotes the Sifri, that any mitzvahs that we perform in Chutz Laretz are only exercises, they're only preparatory stages for the real thing, which has to happen in Eretz Yisrael. Hatzivi l'cha tziyunim, and the pasuk says, you'll lose the land. And what is it referring to? We're not talking about agricultural zrayim. And on these mitzvahs, like tefillin and mezuzah, according to the Ramban Sifri, we have to perform them in Chutz Laretz. Why? Kidei shelo yiyu chadoshim aleinu kshenachzo laretz. So when we get to Eretz Yisrael, it won't be brand new to us. It's like teaching a boy of 12 and a half or 12 and 3 quarters how to put on tefillin. And I bolded the next few words that they should be forever ingrained in our memory. Ki ikar kol ha-mitzvos la-yoshvim bi-eretz Hashem. Primarily the mitzvos are meant to be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael and not chutz la-eretz. And I'm telling you, if we would read through this Ramban carefully, we would be packing our bags tonight. All right, I'm going to pack on Wednesday, but to get to Eretz Yisrael. And I say this because it's so important to read the Ramban's poetry throughout his Pirush al Torah about Eretz HaNivcheretz, so that even if we live in Chutz Laretz and we have to live amongst the Goyim, and there's no special divine providence on the Jewish nation in Chutz Laretz, and our mitzvahs are merely practice, even if we have to live in Chutz Laretz, we should be sensitive. We should be aware of what we're missing out on. And that's why we have to learn the Ramban. The Ramban is our teacher. No one like the Ramban, both in theory and in practice, can be a mentor on that level to teach us how to appreciate Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaNivcheret. So I just want to end the Shia by, again, thanking everyone for coming. And I'll miss you at the Simcha. If anyone's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, please come to the Bris. We'll put you up for Shabbos in Harnof. And we should all be Zochem, Yirtz Hashem, to see the fulfillment of all that the Ramban is describing here, about the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Am Hashem. And especially the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Eretz HaNivcheres, which will be Zoche, to breathe that air, to add to the Kedusha and allow that Kedusha to seep in and penetrate into our hearts. And if unfortunately we have to live in Chutz La'aretz, but to keep the Ramban close to our hearts, so we realize what we're missing out on. And hopefully we'll all be there together, all of Klal Yisrael, at the time of Bias Gol, b'meirav Yomeinu, Amen.